Good morning, everyone. Oh my gosh, y'all, it's been a while since I did a Facebook Live. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. Let me know. This all just looks so different than the last time I did one. So let me know you're on here. Oh, we got one person watching. Okay. This is worth it to me. No, I'm kidding. Come in and say hi in the comments. Actually, let me pull up the live in the Facebook group on my computer as well. And then I'll be able to see. There's a comment. Hi, Isla. How's everybody doing this morning? Happy Thursday. I am going to be answering all your questions today. Corinne is taking some well-deserved time off with her mom down in Florida. So I am here to do some questions for y'all. But first, I wanted to introduce myself real quick since we have so many new members who may not know who I am. Good morning, Roz and Amanda. I am Coach Betsy. So I am a coach along with Kathy and, of course, Corinne. And then we've got Mary Jo, of course, our wonderful community manager, who's going to be feeding me some questions today. So if y'all have any questions, use hashtag ask and I'll get them answered. So, and someone mentioned coffee. Did someone mention coffee? I have my coffee right here. So I'm Coach Betsy. I have been a member of PNP, I basically just say forever. I think it was 2006, 2007, something like that. And I found Corinne on the Weight Watchers message boards. So some of y'all have probably heard that story, and that's how she got started in all this amazingness. So I'm just I just feel so fortunate to have been able to find her. And now I'm able to live my dream and be a coach with all of you. So I live here in Little Rock, Arkansas. I have lost about 70 pounds, and I got married about a year ago to Brad, and we're about to have our first anniversary. So that's me in a nutshell. So y'all can ask me any questions about me. It was so fun to talk about myself at camp this last weekend, because again, we have a lot of newer members who just don't know who I am. So if y'all have any questions about me, any questions about the Taking Control module, I just re-listened to most of it this morning, so it's pretty fresh in my mind. And or any of the past No BS modules, anything about recovery worksheets or discovery worksheets, which I think we're going to start calling them. So anything that has to do with anything, just ask me. So, but y'all got to ask, or I'm just going to keep talking. So I did want to tell you all real quick about a podcast that I listened to this morning. Corinne and Kathy and I have already been talking about it. Y'all know that we love the Life Coach School podcast. Corinne is actually down in Florida to meet with Brooke this weekend as part of her personal and professional development. And I also am certified through the Life Coach School as a certified life and weight loss coach. And she has an amazing podcast that goes right along with all of the stuff that we do with thought work and the model and all of those kind of things. And she did a podcast that came out this morning called Hard Why. And it's basically what we talk about here is it's about your compelling reason, right? And, you know, your compelling reason is your why. Why are you here to lose weight? Why do you want to do anything in your life, right? And so we talk about, hey, Mandy. Good morning, Chris. I got a little squirrel. We always talk about how important it is to have a compelling reason, right? And we also talk about how important it is to remember that the compelling reason doesn't make weight loss easier. It doesn't make weight loss any easier, but it reminds you why you're choosing hard, why you're choosing some discomfort in the moment. And but this podcast just kind of took that to the next level, where it's just like, I actually took a few notes. It's like why makes, you know, is more important than you quitting, right? Your why is more important than you white knuckling through something instead of just allowing some discomfort. And you have something to lose, when your why is hard, when your why is, and when I say hard, I mean like strong and compelling. You have something to lose. You know how we talk about, you know, if someone had a gun to your kid's head and said, if you lose 10 pounds in the next month, I won't kill your kid, you would do it, right? You would figure out a way to do it. And I know that's kind of an extreme example, but that's what it's like, right? For you to accomplish something, anything in your life, your why has to be so compelling and so strong and so hard that you are going to do it no matter what, right? And that's what it takes to lose weight and keep it off too. Now, I'm not saying that weight loss is hard all the time, right? We have the tools in place to make it easy most of the time. But every once in a while, and I was listening to the Taking Control modules, and you know, there's talking a lot about urges, right? I had an urge a couple of days ago and chose to overeat. And those times are going to happen, right? Most of the time we're going to have our plans in place and we're going to, you know, things are just going to be rolling along and it's going to be great. But then every once in a while, something's going to come along, and that's where this hard why comes in. And it's like, okay, I've got some stuff here. You know, I've got something. This is when it's hard. This is the hard part. Now, how am I going to show up as the person I want to be no matter what, and, you know, and not beat myself up and love myself through this process and just let it be hard this time? And so anyway, I just encourage you all to listen to that podcast. I'll put the link in the show notes. And, but yeah, it's called Hard Why, and it just came out today. It's the Life Coach School podcast. So I think we have one question so far, but y'all, come on. I've got to go meet. I have an interesting day today. I've got to go meet with my accountant after this. So please let me, and actually though, I'm kind of a geek about that kind of stuff, so I'm actually looking forward to it. But let's have some fun this morning before I go and talk to my accountant about all the fun stuff with taxes and money and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, okay. Melissa says recovery worksheets or discovery worksheets as I don't know. That's what I'm going to start calling them. I'm hoping we officially change the name. I use the 2-minute one, but don't feel like I'm getting anything from it. Should I do the longer one? Well, what do you think, Melissa? If you're still on here, what do you think? If you're wondering, here's a good sign, right? Here's your sign. I love that. Who was that? Was that like some country guy that did Here's Your Sign? If you're wondering, if you're thinking maybe I should be doing this, that's kind of your gut, right? That's kind of your gut saying, I probably, if I keep asking myself if this is what I should be doing and I don't know and I'm so confused, then usually the answer is sitting right in front of you. And so, yeah, I think you start doing the longer ones. Absolutely. Because if you're filling out the worksheets and you're not getting anything from it, I don't know about y'all, but my time is super valuable. My time is the most valuable thing that I have. Right, is the most valuable thing we all have, because it's as Chris said last weekend, it's a non-renewable resource. Right? It's more valuable than money. You can always get more money, but you can't get yesterday back, right? And so if you're spending time doing that worksheet and you're not getting what you need out of it, do the 2-pager. And I really recommend that most of you all do the 2-pager about 95% of the time. That recovery drill is really just when you're at a point where you just can't, you know, or you're choosing not to do the longer one. But the longer one, really, you do get more out of it. So, you know, you could do the recovery drill if you're in the middle of doing something, you just want to get some immediate notes down and things like that, because we want you to fill out that worksheet as soon as you can after your overeat. Sometimes it doesn't happen. I'll be perfectly honest sitting here, y'all. I did my recovery worksheet today for an overeat that was 2 days ago. But I'm doing it. I'm showing up. And I'm being imperfect and I'm moving forward, right? At least I'm doing it, right? It's better than not doing it. But you want to practice doing it as soon as you can after. So, okay, now the questions are coming in. Let me get my water bottle out of the way because I can't read them. So, Leslie says, I mentioned this in the group, but I am really struggling. I'm a two-year colon cancer survivor, surgery, chemo, and I survived. Now my husband was just diagnosed at 55 with prostate cancer, and I'm so stuck in poor us that I don't know how to get out of my way. Okay, Leslie, first I want you to start doing some journaling if you haven't already. The first step in getting unstuck is to really become aware of what's keeping you stuck right now, right? There's something that's keeping you stuck, and I will tell you it's your thoughts about what's going on, right? And so journaling will help you get those thoughts out. And it's probably, I mean, it's poor us. I can't believe this happened again. What did, you know, maybe something like, what did we do wrong to have to go through this again? And that's the kind of stuff that's keeping you stuck. And so I want you, just your first step is that I want you to start doing some journaling and really dig into what's going on and what you're thinking about that's keeping you stuck. And then I want you to take that over to Ask Coaches and maybe give us like 3 or 4 of the thoughts that you uncovered in your journaling. And then we can help you with there with doing a model. But here's the thing. It's okay to be where you are right now, right? You don't want to move too quickly to changing it. And so I don't want you to resist your stuckness. I want you to just be okay in your stuckness right now, just so that you can have some compassion and love for yourself and your husband. And that's the key. That is the magic to moving forward, is accepting where you are now. Just like with weight loss, you have to learn to love and accept yourself as you are before you can start to lose weight. And for you, it's accepting where you are and then being open to moving forward. So I will see you in Ask Coaches, okay? All right, Joan, I have 4 pounds to get to 199, going back to basics to tighten it up. You keep telling me to journal, but I just don't know what to say. Okay, Joan, I remember you, Joan. I think I answered a question last night. What resources do we have about journaling? Let me get my handy dandy planner out. Here's my chapter, my planner. When we tell you to journal and you don't know what to say, we have a list of suggested journal prompts in the planner. And here's the deal. So some of you all may say, well, I see the journal prompts. I write one down and I still don't know what to say. I want you, so that here's the next step. I want you to set a timer. You can start with 5 minutes. You can do 10 minutes. I wouldn't do any more than 10 minutes at first. And I want you to commit. This is when your hard why comes in, right? This is when, like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I'm not going to, you know, woe is me about it. I'm going to figure this out. And so I am going to sit here. Let's start with 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I am going to sit here and write. If it is blah, 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 if it is my grocery list, if it is, you know, I think about when you get in trouble at school. And, you know, this is not about punishing yourself, right? But, you know, when you got in trouble and you had to write the same things over and over again. It's like, just write the same things over and over again. That's what gets the gears turning in your brain. And you have to just start somewhere, right? And so let's look at a question. Let's look at an example question. I am most successful losing weight when I am. Okay, Joan, you've already lost weight, right? You've been losing weight. You know how to answer that question. I am most successful losing weight when I am. You can start with the 4 basics, right? Just write out the 4 basics. I know that you know that already, but that's not the point of journaling. The point is to, when your brain and your hand are working together in journaling, something magical happens and you start to uncover other things and you start to really learn to listen to your brain. And so when they are connected and you're just writing, other things start to come up and other things start to come up. I know a lot of you all have experienced that. And it's just amazing where it's like you sat down and you didn't think that there was anything to uncover. and then you started writing, and all of a sudden, here comes something, right? And so that's what I want you to do with journaling. Okay. Natalie, on a recovery worksheet, when it asks what you were thinking, always think, I really wanted it, and that doesn't seem like the right answer. What is the question looking for? That can absolutely be the right answer, Natalie. I really wanted it. And I think it would be interesting to ask yourself why you think that isn't the right answer. You probably are thinking, well, it couldn't possibly be that easy that I just wanted it. What if it is? And what if that is your thing to work on? That just because I say I want it doesn't mean that I choose to have it, right? I love to think about, like, I want a, I want a Maserati or something like that. I really don't, right? But it's just like, yeah, I'd like to have a new car. I want it. But I don't immediately drive out and go and get, go to the dealership and get a new car because I have all these reasons for it. Like, I have a perfectly good car sitting in the garage. It's paid off. I would like to spend my money on other things. Food is no different. Just because you want it doesn't mean that you give it to yourself because you've got good reasons to not eat it. So that's where your work is. Molly, do you ever have days you just wake up in a bad mood? Yes. Should I work on thoughts that try to get me to a happy state, or can I just sit with my grouchy feeling? My period is on its way, and I think that's driving it, and the weather is also shitty. Other than that, I can't identify a reason for the mood. Yeah. Here's the thing. You have a choice, right? You can absolutely choose to work on it, or you can choose to just sit in the grouchiness. But it's just a matter of making a decision and not letting that, whether you work on your mood or whether you sit with the grouchiness. If you think about the model, right? Like happy or grouchy or whatever is in the feeling line. You don't have to finish out the model. Like if you're grouchy in the feeling line, you don't have to overeat or whatever. You can just sit with grouchiness and be curious about it and be like, okay, sometimes I'm just grouchy. I wonder why. I wake up sometimes I wake up beating myself up a lot of times. I wake up just tearing myself a new one sometimes. And a lot of times I think, okay, that's what my brain just likes to do, but that's not going to keep me from getting into action. That's not going to keep me from getting up and doing what I need to do and going and working out and all of that stuff. And eventually, it usually just goes away. But if you focus on it too much, I think it may not be the best thing for you to do. So I just think stay curious about it. And y'all, I keep getting these messages that people want to be in my video. Sorry, y'all. I think you're probably just accidentally pressing that button, but I don't think I'm going to bring anybody on. So keep getting those messages popping up. So, so it's just a matter of, okay, my period's coming. That's probably it. Move on. The weather's shitty. Oh, that's probably it. Move on. Do what I need to do. I think dwelling on it sometimes too much just doesn't help you. Okay. Susan, can the overeat off-plan worksheet be replaced with a thought download model? It seems like it goes deeper. So here's the deal about the discovery worksheet. I love my face. Seeing my face every time I say that because I just think I love that new name. The worksheet is designed as you're basically doing a model. If you look at the worksheet, it talks about analyzing the circumstance, looking at your thoughts, looking at your feelings, analyzing the actions, and then what result, you get, and what result do you want in the future. It is doing the model. So first off, I want you to definitely do the recovery or discovery worksheet. And then, yes, you can absolutely then move into doing a model, right? Try a model on it. Take from the worksheet what you wrote down, fill it into the model, and then do some deeper journaling and stuff like that. So Absolutely. I think that's a great idea, especially if it's some sort of pattern that you've recognized. If you find that you're doing the, you know, you're putting the same thoughts and feelings down for the, on the recovery worksheet each time, then yeah, it's like, okay, this keeps happening over and over again. That's interesting. Let me kind of do a model and maybe a thought download and on one of the thoughts that I uncovered and that I keep putting down over and over again. And let me dig a little bit deeper. Let me peel back some layers. I think that's a great idea. But I think the recovery worksheet absolutely has to be done. Not, you know, I don't want you to do a thought download and a model instead, but you can do it in addition. That's my opinion. Okay. Melissa, I've been doing good at waiting till my negative two and usually negative three or four to eat, but then I'm extremely nervous when I start eating that I'm so hungry I will eat past my two, that I feel very anxious and guilty for just eating the whole time I'm eating. What do you suggest to feel more at ease while I'm eating? So, first off, you know, most of the time you want to avoid getting to a negative three or negative four if you can, right? But it's just going to happen sometimes, and that's totally okay. It's amazing practice, right? And this is what you're talking about. So for those of you all who get to a negative three and a negative four, it's just a matter of, I think, just taking a minute, like before you, because I, you know, we've all been there, right? Where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. Let's get this food in my mouth, right? And so I think it's a matter of taking just a split second and just maybe taking some deep breaths, because I'm all into the breathing these days. I just think breathing is, it's amazing what just a few deep breaths can do for you. And just reminding yourself that hunger is not an emergency. Maybe even having like a little, you could actually develop a hunger protocol, like a negative three, negative four protocol. Like, this is what I'm going to do when I get to a negative three or negative four before I eat. So I'm just going to sit for a second. I'm going to take some deep breaths. I'm going to remind myself that hunger is not an emergency, that I do not need any more food than I would if I was at a negative two, that I will be okay. Right? All these kind of thoughts, all these kind of comforting thoughts, because, you know, otherwise it's very urgent, right? It becomes very urgent. And I definitely have experienced, like, before I went no sugar, no flour, my hunger was very, very urgent to me, and it felt like an emergency. And so, yeah, so I just think it's a matter of practicing that, where it's just saying, okay, it's just food. It's just some hunger. I'm going to be okay. And just really kind of come up with a dialogue with yourself before you sit down to eat, so that you're not just gobble, 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 gobble. And the next thing you know, you're at plus three or four. So work on that protocol. Post it and ask coaches. I'd love to see it. Okay, Roz, I'm living at home with many family members. Most of the time, I just live with my father here, who's 87, and I'm taking care of him. So the cleaning out of the pantry is something I'm still hung up on. My family likes cookies and tasty cakes on the counter with breads, etc. Can you give me some ideas on how to handle it? Yeah, so you have your section of the pantry, right? You have the Roz section of the pantry. And that's, you know, I think it would be really good for you to do that, because if you are living with other family members and you really start to, when you see things on the counter, and here's the other, I mean, you can talk to your family about, you know, can we keep this stuff, all this stuff in the pantry? Is that okay? But you don't have to have that, right? You don't have to have them doing something different for you to feel more in control. But I think it would be really great for you to set up a section in the pantry that is just yours, and where that has all the things that, you know, that you eat and that you enjoy, and, you know, make it nice, and may even have like a little quote in there or something like that, where it's just like, okay, this is my place and this is what's important to me. It's got a reminder in there about what's important to you when it comes to your food and stuff like that. And really working on moving out of that. You know, I hear some victim-y stuff, and I know victim-y is not a word, but it's like, oh, they keep all that food out on the counter. They shouldn't do that. That makes it so hard for me, right? And it's also journaling about those thoughts that you're having, where it's not fair. They're making it so hard. No, you're making it hard through your thoughts. And if it's this important to you, if weight loss is this important to you, then it's okay what they do. It doesn't matter what they do. You do what you need to do in terms of setting up a place in the pantry and then also managing your mind around stuff that's on the counter. And if they want to keep it on the counter, they absolutely can. You know, we're all adults here. We can do whatever we want. And this is something I work on every time I babysit my nieces, which I'm going to do this afternoon. I open up their cabinet and there's every kid snack, you know, junk food that you could ever imagine. And I'm like, you know, I mean, and I've been there. It's not fair. I shouldn't have to have all this stuff around me. And then I'm babysitting and it's, you know, I'm tempted and nah. You know, you have to hear yourself. Write that out and hear yourself say that and call yourself on it and say, no, I can handle any of this stuff with practice. And this is why this is important for me to figure out. So, Molly, I've done 2 discovery worksheets. I am proud of myself for doing them. I've been inconsistent in the past, but I'm still fighting, celebrating, filling out a discovery worksheet without feeling like I'm celebrating the overeat, if that makes sense. Okay, so you're basically probably still thinking that you need to punish yourself for an overeat. I think that's what you're saying. Because a lot of times I talk about how the recovery worksheet is a gift to us, right? And instead of a punishment. And I think for you, it's maybe putting something every time you fill out a recovery worksheet or discovery worksheet, you put up at the top, this is a gift to me, or this is my gift, or what can I learn from this today? I'm so glad that I get to an opportunity to learn. You're either succeeding or you're learning, right? That's one of my favorite sayings. There's no failure around here, right? You're either succeeding or you're learning. So it's like win-win all the way around. So it's just reminding yourself every time you sit down to do that worksheet that this is a celebration, because you can call it the celebration work. You know, you can scratch out recovery and put celebration worksheet or whatever you want to call it, to remind yourself that this is a gift to me, because whatever happens, I am here to learn and I'm here to grow and become, you know, more of myself and better version of myself. So, okay, Susan, I'm 10 pounds away from my goal and I seem to be losing and gaining the same 5 pounds. What I figured out is I'm scared to lose the weight due to what happens then. I've never maintained weight loss for more than a month and then I gain it all back faster than last time. How do I get over this block of I will maintain? So here's the deal. This is what I always say about fear. It's time to go there, y'all. It's time to go to the fear. And really ask yourself if what you're fearing is really as scary as you're thinking it is. It's like, you know, get under that bed, look under the bed, right? There's nothing under there but a few dust bunnies. And so it's time to do some writing and some journaling and saying, okay, what's so scary? Let's go there. Let's go there, Susan. What's so scary if you get down to... you lose these 5 pounds, and then a month goes by, everything's great, and then you get on the scale, and you have a 2-pound gain. Oh, right? I mean, you have to let your brain go there, because right now your brain is trying to protect you, and it doesn't want to go there, right? It's like, no, we can't go there. That's too scary. And fear can kill us, right? But you've got to let yourself go there and say, okay, let's say I do get on the scale after a month. I've gained 2 pounds. I've gained 5 pounds. What now? And what now? Answer that, right? Here's my answer. All right, sounds like I need to tighten some things up and get back to the basics. And then the weight will come off again. Right? there's no, I mean, we just have to let ourselves, and then, you know, maybe we feel a little bit of failure, right? We feel a little bit of whatever it is. It's just a feeling, y'all. We got to get better with feeling our feelings and not being so scared of them. Because you said, let's see, I'm scared to lose the weight. I have never maintained the weight loss. So you have to be okay with those thoughts coming in at that point and saying, oh, here I go again, right? I'm just doing the same thing I've always done. I've lost the weight and I'm gaining it back. You have to let that thought come in because you're so scared of that right now, right? You're so scared of being there. And I want you to visualize going there, seeing that 5-pound gain after a month, hearing that thought come in, and then you get to choose what happens next, right? It's like choose your own adventure. Remember those books? Choose your own adventure. You get to do something different. You have these gifts of the four basics, and you know exactly what to do to get back at it. That was my, you know, my power thought when I was losing weight was, you know, I'm just going to do something different this time. You have the power to do something different this time. You have the power to not gain it back at all. But if you do for some reason, you can do it differently this time and you can lose it again. Okay. Angela, what if I wanted it is what I tell myself too often. Then you need to, did you answer the same other question? I answered that earlier about, yeah, you've got to just decide that, okay, is I wanted it a good enough reason to have it? I talked earlier about how just because we want things, just because I want a Maserati doesn't mean I go out and get it. And so you've got to become aware of that thought and then just say, okay, how do I want weight loss more than I want this cookie right now? You know, we want a lot of things. And so we just have to decide what we want more in the moment. Anna, I'm finding now that winter is here in Montana, I don't drink my water. What suggestions you'd have to drink more? The alarms aren't working anymore because I'm so busy at work. I just ignore them sometimes. Okay. Well, first off, I want you to figure out why you're ignoring the alarms. Because it almost sounds like it doesn't have anything to do with the winter necessarily. You've gotten used to these alarms and not, you've developed a habit of the alarm going off and you not responding to it. So you either need to work on this new habit of responding to the alarm, or you need to work on a new habit altogether where you have a different alarm, where you have a bottle of water that, you know, has the lines and you've got to get down to the bottom by the end of the day. You've got to, you know, or you could try, if it is something about winter being there and you don't want to drink cool water, I've actually started drinking kind of lukewarm water in my water bottle. Because during the winter time, I actually get cold. Like I get, I have, you know, kind of some circulation issues and I get cold from the inside. And so I like to drink just kind of lukewarm, kind of tepid water so that it doesn't make me any colder than I already am with it being cold outside. So it's just all those, it's just really trying different things until something works, you know? And you can also post in the Facebook group too for ideas. Let's see. I skipped a question. I know a planned binge is planned ahead 24 hours. I gave in to Reese's peanut butter cup urge, but before I ate them, I put a number on the plate and ate slowly and mindfully and took notes. What I didn't do was plan ahead. I wanted to learn from this and had been trying to resist the urge for these for a while and finally gave in. And is this still helpful in breaking the habit of eating to comfort? Yes, anything that you do right, you can absolutely use as a learning experience. That's kind of a short answer to your question, is that even if you have an overeat, I mean, everything you do can be a learning experience. But first off, I want to call you out on, you said, I wanted to learn from this and have been trying to resist the urge. We are not trying to resist urges around here, right? We are trying to allow urges. And that is all in the urges and desires video of the Taking Control module in OBS because I just listened to it about an hour ago. So it talks about the four things you can do with urges, and resisting is one of them, and that's not what we want to do. We want to allow it. So watch for that. But yeah, it's like, okay, you started, right? You didn't plan the overeat, but you did work on eating your Reese's mindfully and slowly. You put it on a plate, right? So you absolutely made a step in the right direction. You're absolutely practicing. And so now maybe your next step would be to plan it. And again, sit with your Reese's at the table, unwrap them, put them on a plate, and then move forward with more practice. So yeah, so put this one in the win column in that you absolutely move forward with working on your urges and your overeats and stuff. So, but it's just now it's time to keep going forward, right, with it. So yeah, it was absolutely helpful. All right, Adina, I've gained since joining the tribe. I immediately felt freedom and chose to add all the foods to my plans. I struggle adding foods that will help me lose weight. I need to level up, but I feel restricted and I ultimately don't want to eat healthful foods. Basically, I want to eat unhealthy food and also lose weight. Tips. Okay, Adina. You got, there's actually another lesson in No BS Taking Control called Competing Priorities. And you have competing priorities right now. One of them is that you want to lose weight. And one of them is that you want to eat unhealthy food. And you're fighting with these two competing priorities. So you have to decide what your priority is. Is your priority to eat unhealthy food? Is your priority to lose weight? And here's the deal with leveling up, Adina. We're not talking about an overhaul of every meal and every plan. We are talking about a 1% level up. So what is one way that you could level up one meal, 1%? That's all we're asking at this point. We're talking about gradually leveling up. And so for you, it's a matter of doing that and proving to your brain that it's not restrictive because it's one little bitty thing. You're leaving half the bun off of your cheeseburger or something like that, right? Or you're getting no mayonnaise, or maybe you're switching from a regular Coke to a Diet Coke or whatever it is. But, you know, right now your brain is like, oh, wait, this is way too, I feel way too restricted, right? And it's like, no, it's just a little thing. And so you up level 1%, you give that a while to just kind of sink in, and then you do another 1%. So that's how that works. How do you pronounce your name? I want to know, is it Rajon? That would be an awesome name if it is. How important is exercise? So this is the deal with exercise. We always say that exercise is a very small part of weight loss, right? I see exercise, and Corinne said this or somebody said this a while back, and I always think about this. I exercise for two reasons, and weight loss is not one of them, or maintaining my weight loss is not one of them. I lose weight to feel good and to shape my body. And so you can absolutely not exercise at all. We have all kinds of members in PNP that have lost hundreds of pounds with very little exercise or none at all. I'm thinking about Jill, who's one of our Century Club members, who has a disability, and she is not able to exercise very much. And she has lost over 100 pounds. Because it's all about what you put in your mouth. So I exercise to feel good and to shape my body. And you all can either, like I said, either not exercise, you can exercise to just feel good. You know, I always feel better when I just even take a couple of loops around my neighborhood, right? And then now I've leveled up to, I want to go to the gym and lift weights and feel strong. And like the way that my muscles look and things like that. And so I'm shaping my body in that way. But it's absolutely not necessary for weight loss for that number on the scale. Angela, can you tell me a little bit more about No Sugar, No Flour? Will there be a monthly challenge for this? No, this is just a, absolutely just an option for some folks. We have a bonus course on No Sugar, No Flour in our bonus courses section of pnptribe.com, and you can read all about it there. So it is absolutely not necessary for weight loss. I lost 50 pounds, and we have thousands of members at this point who have lost all kinds of weight not doing that. But what I did it for, and what I think is the best reason to do any kind of special, we call it special diets, right? We actually have a subgroup, a Facebook subgroup on special diets, and that includes No Sugar, No Flour, that includes gluten-free, that includes maybe a special eating program for maybe a specific disease or a specific disorder that someone has, or, you know, keto or Whole 30 or whatever it is, right? I did it because of, I wanted to regulate my blood sugar, and I wanted to, I was having some low blood sugar episodes. I was having, hunger was very urgent. I just wasn't feeling great physically. I was having kind of crashes in the afternoon and things like that. And it was because I was eating more processed foods, sugar, and things like that. And so that's why I did it. But, you know, going back to talking about your hard why, you've got to have a hard why for doing any of that as well. So just look into the No Sugar, No Flour course in the bonus courses. And then, but we won't focus on that as a tribe ever, because it's not for everyone. And so we just have it as an option there for you. Cause like I said, it's not required for weight loss. I did lose a little bit more weight when I did it, but it is not a weight loss tool. And when people are struggling with their weight loss and they think that No Sugar, No Flour is the answer, that gets in my craw, y'all. Because it's not a weight loss tool. It's a health tool. And so that's just how I feel about it. Okay. Ooh, my stomach is growling. All right. I have a girls' weekend away. This is Kathy. I have a girls' weekend away next week. And many of them are healthy eaters, but I'm worried about overeating and overdrinking. I've been thinking about doing a specific vacation protocol, but I'm worried that I'll make it too loose so that I am not off it. Does it still make sense to do it even if it seems loose? Here's the deal. You decide what loose means, Kathy, right? I could look at it and say, oh, that looks tight, right? That looks good. And so you decide what loose is, or you decide what committed is. And so I want you to make a protocol that you feel is doable, and that's what I want. I want you to do a doable protocol. And I want you to you're just thinking it's loose. That's a thought you're having. That's not a fact. You can decide it's doable and it is what I want to do this weekend to support my weight loss goals, or to, you know, whether you want to lose weight, maintain weight, or even gain some weight during this weekend. You get to decide, and then you get to decide that it's doable and realistic for you. So you can throw that loose word out the window, because it doesn't have to be loose if you don't, I mean, you know, you get to decide what it is. And so just decide, okay, this is what I'm doing. And also, I want you to kind of zoom out a little bit and think about what the purpose of this weekend is. What is the purpose of this girl's weekend? Is it to eat and drink, or is it to connect with your friends? Right? What is really important? What is important in life? Right? I just sit and think about that sometimes. It's like, oh my gosh, we're so caught up in this, all this food. And we're just wasting time with that when we could be focused on connection with the people that we love. So that's my advice there. Okay. Looks like the questions are slowing down a little bit. So So that's good because I like to be done about 10. Jennifer, April baby here following the basics, and I've been gaining and losing the same 5 pounds. I still am working on finding my plus two, because when I stop at what I think is my plus two, shortly after I finish, I feel super full and at a 3 or 4. What would you recommend? So what you think is your plus two is probably more like your plus three, right? And so it's a matter of you leaving a few bites behind at each meal. So the bites that you would normally eat, it's time to leave those. And then, you know, and then really keep some good data on how you feel after those meals, right? So it's just a matter of dialing in. You know, the hunger scale is an ongoing learning opportunity, learning experience of figuring out. I mean, I still go past my plus two sometimes. I still, you know, get over hungry sometimes. And so I just stay curious with it. It's like, okay, I'm just always working on figuring this out. How interesting. So it's just a matter of, you know, when you, and we all eat a lot of the same things. We eat, you know, our salads or whatever it is. And we get into these habits of, we make about the same size serving most of the time. And so for you, it's like, okay, you could even, like if you're making a salad, for example, you know, you usually make it in the same bowl and that kind of stuff. I mean, you could even just rake off a little bit to begin with. You know, if you want to do your 3 or 4 bites ahead of time, you could absolutely do that, right? I just thought about that just at this moment. So just get curious about it and just think about how you feel when you think you're at your plus two now and you've got to stop before that, right? Right? And so it's just all about collecting data, being super curious, like being like a scientist of your brain and your body, and believing that you are just figuring it out, right? And there's not going to be a moment in time where it's just all going to be perfect and figured out, and that's okay too. So, okay, Lisa, how do I begin to believe I can do this? I have moments I believe and moments I doubt it. It's those doubted days that really pull me down. Okay, here's the deal, Lisa. What's wrong with some doubt? You're making doubt mean that you can't do it. But doubt is totally normal. And so you got me with my favorite quote. I actually have two favorite power thoughts when I was losing weight. The first one was, I've already mentioned, was, I'm just going to do something different this time. The second one was, I doubt it, but I do it. And so it's a matter of practicing feeling the doubt and not making it mean that something is wrong and that you can't do it, but reminding yourself that doubt is part of the process and doubt is totally normal. And doubt is not going to keep you from doing what you know you need to do that day. I doubt it, but I still do it. I feel the doubt, but I still follow my plan. I feel the doubt, I still stop at plus two. I feel the doubt, but I still get my water in every day. It's just recognizing that doubt is coming along for the ride. I picture like a, you know, we're going on a trip here. We're going on the weight loss journey and we're in our minivan. Think about the minivan my parents had when I was a kid. We took this cross-country trip to Washington, D.C., and my brother was in the back, in the very back, and then my place was in the, you know, in the middle seat. And so doubt, fear, confusion, all those are along for the ride on our weight loss journey, but they ride in the back, and they don't have a say in what direction we go in, and they don't have a say in you know, where we stop or anything like that, but they're just there. Sitting in the back, you know, sitting there. So they're just along for the ride, and that's okay. But they don't have to affect your actions and what you do. Okay, Alexis, when I notice I've been eating sweets emotionally more often lately, should I put more sweets on my plan or keep plans as they have been and just work on the emotional issues? This is a great question. And really only you can decide. I mean, it's just, there's no right or wrong answer. Maybe you put sweets on your plan for a little while, and then when you find that you're not eating them because you're choosing to not eat them, then you take them off, and then you work on your thoughts around them. Or if you think that you're ready to not have them on the plan and just allow the urge, then you do that. But here's the deal, no matter what you do, none of it is going to be perfect. None of it is going to just go absolutely perfectly. And so it's a matter of opening up your mind to, okay, this is, you know, I am a scientist. This is an experiment. This could even be fun. And just deciding that you're going to learn no matter what, right? You're going to grow. You're going to practice not beating yourself up ever. And so, and then from that place, you know your choice, right? There was another question at the very beginning about this where, now I want to go back to it. About the recovery worksheet. Like, should I keep doing the short one or should I do the longer one? It's like your gut knows. And for you, Alexis, just listen to your gut. And here's the thing. It's not like you've got to commit to putting sweets on your plan for the next 6 months. Try it for a few days, right? And if you find that, okay, this, I don't need to have these on my plan. I just need to work on allowing the urges. Then you take them off the plan and you work on the urges, right? It's nothing is set in stone. I think when we struggle with a decision, we think that we are just like locked in on this decision. That's where our brain goes. That's you know, our brain doesn't really like to make decisions sometimes, like especially that party in the back. It doesn't want to make decisions. It wants to just keep things loose, you know, keep things loose, and it's having a party back there, right? So when we think about making a decision, that part of our brain freaks out and says, but we're going to be locked in. I mean, you could literally plan your candy. Was it candy? Yeah. Eating sweets. You could plan your sweets for 3 days. For one day. And then work on allowing the urges after that, right? We're never locked in if we don't want to be. So. Okay, Stacy, when I do recovery worksheets, I find I keep writing the same things and have trouble with the question, what did you get out of the overeating? What now? I haven't figured out how to use it. Yes. Okay. So here's the thing. It's good that you're writing the same things, right? Because you're uncovering patterns. You're seeing patterns. When you write the same things, your brain wants to go to, oh my God, we'll never figure this out. We just keep writing the same thing over and over again. But what if that was a good thing? What if, oh my gosh, I keep seeing this same thought, I just want it, for example, over and over and over again. What if that was actually a good thing? Oh, well, that seems to me maybe a thought that I need to work on if I just keep writing it over and over again. And then what do you get out of the overeating? I think that is the most important question on that recovery worksheet is, I've got my handy dandy recovery worksheet that I just filled out. What feeling or problem did the eating solve? Push yourself. It always does something for you. I think if you don't answer any other question on that worksheet, that is the one. And here's what I answered. Loneliness and boredom. So if y'all are having trouble answering any question on the recovery worksheet, post it in the Facebook group. And I mean, we've got so many members who have hundreds of these recovery worksheets, and they could tell you what answer they put down there, you know, the most. So usually it is a feeling that you are avoiding. Feeling. And my husband has been gone. I was gone to camp. My husband has been gone since Monday. We were like two ships passing in the night, and I haven't seen him in over a week. I'm feeling lonely. and I didn't want to feel lonely anymore. So that's what happened. But so that is what you need to think about is, okay, if I wasn't eating, this is another way to kind of answer it. If I didn't eat right now, what would I have to feel? Would I have to feel some anxiety? Would I have to feel boredom? Would I have to feel fear? That would be another way for you to answer it. Would I have to just feel an urge for food? And, you know, and be okay with that, right? Because we're the secret sauce here is for us to be able to feel anything without covering it up, without buffering with food. So, okay, Mary Jo, is there anything else? If not, I am going to tell y'all what we've got going on the rest of this week, and then I'll get out of here and go to my super exciting accountant appointment. Let's see. So what we've got, I am assuming that there is a weekend motivator that's going to be coming out tomorrow. I wondered about that this morning, but I am sure that one will be coming out tomorrow morning. So watch for that. And then on Saturday, I'll be back for my regular time office hours, noon to 2 p.m. So if y'all want to get on, raise your hand. I will be there. And then on Sunday, I will be doing the coaching call at noon. I'm super excited about that because I haven't done one of those in a while. So, and that is by appointment only. So I'm not sure how many folks have signed up yet, but you can always, if you're interested in getting on that call with me, you can email support and see if there's any more space for that call. And then we actually have we've got a Monday off, right? Because Corinne is going to be out of town. She's going to be flying. Well, hold on a minute. No. I lied. Sorry, y'all. Take that back. No, we don't. Monday is Monday night. So Corinne will be back in town on Monday night for our 6 p.m. Zoom talking all about the hunger scale because it's hunger scale challenge week. Next week, I can't wait for you newbies to go through that. And if any of you all are really wanting to work on dialing in your hunger scale, the challenges next week are going to be amazing. And y'all know, you elders know how valuable the hunger scale challenge week is. So that is next week. So that's what we've got going on the next few days. And then of course, Kathy will have her office hours on Tuesday night. And then we'll keep on going throughout the week. So we've got our regular stuff going on. So, all right, guys, let's see. All right. Mary Jo says, we got all the questions. She's headed to Pilates. So y'all have a great rest of your Thursday. And if you have any questions for the coaches, don't forget about Ask Coaches. And again, I'll be on office hours on Saturday. So, oh my gosh, this was so much fun. And I will see you guys again soon. All right. Take care. I got to figure out how to stop this thing now. Okay. All right. Here I go. All right. Bye, y'all.